When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to episode 32 of the Sick Podcast with your boy, That Leafs Fan. Ladies and gentlemen, the playoffs are on the horizon. The Leafs are just a few points away from getting the X near their name. Matthews hitting 60, Samsonov resurging his season, and more. But first, producer, roll the tape.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. With That Leafs Fan.
They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Rielly! Mo Rielly! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
The sickest Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. It's gonna be sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, finally, Austin Matthews has hit 60 goals again on the season. Do you remember, if you've been around since the beginning of the episodes to start the season, I said three things I was going to look out for. Number one, I said that Joseph Woll at some point was going to be a starter. That happened. He's, let's say, tandem. Number two, I said I was excited to watch Matthew Nyes flourish into a full-time roster player. He's done that. And number three, I said that Austin Matthews was going to elevate his game to a level we have never seen before. And ladies and gentlemen, for the second time in his very, very, very young career, Austin Matthews has hit 60 goals again. Again. To put into perspective just how crazy that is, because I don't think people recognize how insane this stat is. Alexander Ovechkin doesn't even have two seasons with 60 goals. That is one of, if not the greatest goal scorer any of us have ever witnessed in our lives, and maybe forever. Even he does not have two seasons with 60 goals. Austin Matthews is 26 years old. 26 years old. There's people who are still studying in university, working on their degree, not even starting their career yet. This guy is 26 years old and already has two seasons with 60 or more. Because this season, he actually, his season, his career high is 60 goals plateau. Like, he's never gotten 61, but he has nine games left to do it, to go and try to hit the 70 mark. Matter of fact, 66 would set the record in the 21st century for most goals by an individual in a single season. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Leafs fan, if you're a hockey fan, love him or hate him, make all the jokes you will. I've posted a few videos about Matthews hitting 60, and 90% of the comment section was like, oh, well, I want to see him do it in the playoffs. Rent free, bro. Stay mad. Don't know what to tell you. If you've watched his game this year, and especially over the past couple of seasons, this year it kind of all came together. This guy can score from anywhere, can score from any fashion, can score at any time. And he also has a two-way game. Like, not only does this guy produce, but he is also very defensively responsible. He is probably one of the best stick checkers I have ever seen. Like, his attention to detail, just like the little lift of the stick, the whole play changes. The whole dynamic, a breakdown of the play is completely different when he does so. So there is so many different aspects to the game, but the main component is that this guy is one of the most natural goal scorers. Matter of fact, he is the most natural goal scorer I have ever seen as a Leafs fan. He is easily the best Leafs player there has. If Austin Matthews wins a Stanley Cup in Toronto, we're going there now, okay? First of all, so this whole, I don't know what you want to call it, this whole conservative approach now to this, the Leafs season, that's out the window, guys. The playoffs are on their way, okay? And now it's no longer about, you know, like little, like cool instances in a game or cool goals or stuff like that. Now it's about results. And if Austin Matthews remotely does anything for, not anything, if he it continues doing pretty much exactly what he's been doing, we might honestly be witnessing the greatest Leaf of all time for a very long time, like being Austin Matthews. And there's so much more to talk about than just Matthews, by the way. I just wanted to start with that because, like, it's, I still don't have words to, like, 60 goals and you still have 10 games to go is absolutely stupid. And the fact that if you literally add 10 goals to all the people under him, he's, if I'm not mistaken, maybe one goal away from still being first. If you take away 10 goals from Matthews, that's stupid. That's completely stupid. It makes no sense. Don't try to understand it. There's no sense to it. It's nonsensical. It's bananas. He's insane. Austin Matthews is a freak of nature. Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, and this is actually, I really feel like if you're not a Leafs fan, this was really like lost in, like it was completely lost in the storyline. So the night that Austin Matthews hits 60 goals, Ilya Samsonov also gets a shutout versus the Buffalo Sabres. Now you're like, okay, shutout. Seen that a couple of times. Nothing special. I mean, it's nice. It's, you know, if your goalie's letting in zero goals, all you got to do is score one and you win the game. But there's something about the fact that Ilya Samsonov got a 3-0 shutout against the Buffalo Sabres in KeyBank Arena. And here is why. Just 3 months ago, less than 3 months ago, January 10th, Ilya Samsonov let in 9 goals versus the Buffalo Sabres in Buffalo. And following that game, many people, almost everybody, including myself, I'm not going to give myself the carte blanche here, he was not playable. Ilya Samsonov was not playable. He was not capable of starting. When he was in nets, we really didn't give ourselves a chance to win the game. 3 months ago, he gets waived. Nobody takes him. Everyone passes on him. He has 10 days. He doesn't even play a game with the Marlies. And then something magical happens. Ilya Samsonov returns to the net for the first time after being waived, after letting in 9. And he plays good. All right, well, I'm not convinced, you know. Maybe an off night. Got to see 5-10 more performances. Ilya Samsonov, since returning from being waived, is 15-4-1. He has 2 shutouts. He has a .914 save percentage, which 10 years ago probably seemed around league average. League average this year in the NHL, if I'm not mistaken, has fallen below .900. .914 is insane. It's very good, especially for a guy who was literally not seen as playable 3 months ago. Like 3 months ago. In the same year, 2024, he was not playable. And now he's looking like he's going to be our starting goal. He looks like we got Sammy back. Like Samsonov is back. And the fact that he got a 3-0 shutout in the same arena that he lost 9-3, and that was the reason he got waived, and to do it against the same team, and the save he made, the saves he made, there was a Sammy chant, like Sammy, loudest I've ever seen a Leafs game. The game wasn't even in Toronto. It was in Buffalo. Granted, it's close. Matthews, I think there was like 9 letters or 8 people, whatever. Matthews, I don't know how many letters is in the last name. Let's say 8, okay? There was 8 guys lined up with a letter on their jersey or on their shirt lined up that spelled out Matthews. First row in an opponent's building. I have never seen the arena that loud before. But anyways, I want to read this quote from Ilya Samsonov because honestly, this guy deserves the entire world after the entire league, many Leaf fans, again, including myself, absolutely obliterated this guy. We're just bashing him, all right? Here's his quote following the 3-0 shutout in Buffalo when asked about it. He was asked, how does it feel right now after the last time you've been here that you lost 9-3? How does it feel getting a shutout in this building? This is what he says. I don't remember last time I'd be here. Last time, 9 goals. Fuck that shit. I feel good right now. That long time ago, I don't remember. You are talking about a guy. Okay, like, let me put something into perspective. Ilya Samsonov is from Russia. He does not come from here. He literally was born on the other side of the planet, okay? Now, he already, his English language is developing. It's not very strong yet for him. Like, he's very, like, he'll speak very choppy, like, 2-3 words at once to, like, formulate a whole sentence. He's, like, it's very basic at best. And if you think about it, right, let's say you go to another country, okay? This whole episode is probably going to surround Samsonov because, honestly, like, Matthews hitting 60, incredible. I think the resurgence of Ilya Samsonov is one of the most underrated things to happen for the Leafs and in the NHL, for that fact, all season. You are talking about a guy who comes from literally the other side of the planet, speaks a completely different language with a completely different alphabet, to be frank, comes to Canada, plays for Toronto, wins us our first round in like 20 years, has a horrible start to the season, and the entire internet, all of social media, absolutely bashing this guy. Like, he did not want to look at himself in the mirror after a game. Like, you saw it in his face. And then something incredible happened. He takes 10 days off. He comes back and he's like, holy shit, I'm Ilya Samsonov. And the rest is history. It's absolutely incredible to go through what he's gone through in such a short period of time and playing in such a big market in Toronto, one of the biggest hockey markets in the world, arguably the biggest, like, love it or hate it, it's true. And to have a season turnaround like that, it's absolutely, I don't even know how that must have felt to literally have a standing ovation in the exact same arena that isn't your home arena, have a standing ovation from the crowd in the same arena that you literally got booted out of and that caused you to, like, practically lose your job, possibly your career, and then come back and get a standing ovation from the crowd in the same arena. It's absolutely incredible. Like, I'm so happy for him. It's amazing. It's truly, I don't know. I think it's like the most, it was honestly touching to see this guy's reaction. Like, you see the genuine, like, human to human. You saw him in the interview and you're like, this is one of, like, it's such a good story. Like, it's such a good story. It's stories we live for. It's like down and out. Ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you get hit and keep moving forward type of story. And it's developing more and more and more. And good for him. Good for him. Good for him as a human. Whether you love the Leafs, whether you hate the Leafs, whether you love hockey, whether you've never even heard of the word hockey, it's a great story. It's amazing. And I'm so happy for Ilya Samsonov. And it is so, so crucial as well. The reason I say that, for a very long portion of the Leafs season, the last, like, say, month and a half, 2 months, the Leafs have gone through stretches of just missing players. We lost Riley through the suspension. Marner's been out for, like, better part of a month now. And Riley's also kind of dealing with something. Cali Yarncroke in and out of the lineup. Now he's out because he had an injury. Edmondson missing this game. A lot of bugs going around the team. We saw Bertuzzi miss a game. We saw Matthews nearly miss a game. A lot of different players going through it. The team as a whole going through it. But they're finding a way. They're finding a way to win. And I think, forget the points, because, I mean, I kind of knew this at the beginning of the season before it started. I even said it. The Leafs are going to have a worse statistical season in terms of points, but overall their team is going to gel a lot more and look to be a lot more of a playoff-style team. What I mean by that is they're a lot more like, fuck with my teammate, you're fucking with all of us. It's not just, you can go hit whoever you want, we're going to let it slide. Literally in the game against the Sabres, where Rasmus Dahlin literally cross-checked TJ Brody into the board, 10 guys got sent off, like, line brawl, and, like, man, Matthews didn't really do anything, but Domi was being a dog. Bertuzzi literally looked like he wanted to decapitate the heads of the entire Buffalo Sabres organization. You had just everyone just making an absolute mess on the ice from a cross check. That's not something you see from Toronto. That's things you see from teams like Vegas, teams like Florida, teams like Boston, where it's like, touch him, you're dead. In Toronto, that's just like, touch him, congratulations, here's a medal. I'm not doing anything about it. That's what we're used to seeing. And this year, it's not like that. We have guys like McCabe, guys like Edmondson, guys like Simon Benoit, which, by the way, I am so, so happy they re-signed him to a three-year deal. He's from Laval. Love to see it. Very happy about that. Very good contract, too. Hard worker. Love it. Just so many things to like about the way that the season has gone. It seems like none of it makes sense, and that's why it makes sense. You follow? It's like everyone before the season's like, well, on paper, we got worse. Our defense sucks. There's no depth on this team. Goaltending, mid, like all of these things. And like all of them have a valid argument. Like it, you have a point when you say that. But then you watch it and you're like, as the season progresses, it's kind of like when you're playing with a new group of people, even in like your local hockey team or local soccer, whatever team, where it's like as the season goes on, there's two things that can happen. You can either separate or you can start gelling together. This team has truly begun to gel together, like a lot. And I'm not just talking about like gelling together that like they're scoring 10 goals a night. I mean like gelling together in moments besides goal scoring, moments besides just winning the game. Like, I mean like they're defending themselves. They're stepping up for themselves. They're looking out for each other. They're battling for each other. These are things that in Toronto we just have not gotten in the past, and it's things we are getting to see now, and it's truly incredible. And especially in the absence of some of our most key players, we were missing Riley. We've missed him. Riley's missed, including his suspension and a few games after, at least like 8 games this year. Marner's missed about 10 right now, and Marner's like the driving factor of this team. But in the absence of Marner, you've seen Domi step up, seeing the playmaking abilities that he has, although defensively, not a big fan, but he's really, like, again, establishing, turning into what he was supposed to be on this team. Bertuzzi, after literally not being able to kick a soccer ball into a life-size net, is just scoring from anywhere, from behind the net now, and it's just everything is going in, where it's kind of like you're seeing things happen where it's they're just not giving up. They're just going. There's that tenacity to it. I'm rambling on here, and get used to it, because come playoff time, this is all it's going to be. I'm telling you guys right now. But the thing that I like, I think, the most of this Leafs team, because look, scoring has always been there. Defense, not really. Goaltending, always been a question. And these questions are still there. All those questions and all of those affirmations are still there. However, one thing in the playoffs, you guys know, okay? Take this. This is a pen. Let's pretend it's a whistle, all right? The whistle in the season is very close to the ref. In the playoffs, that shit goes in the pocket. All right, you can't call everything in the playoffs. You're not going to call 12 penalties on a team in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. Look at Florida. Or let me revert back to last year. So Michael Bunting on Toronto last year, he was a dog. He was a dog. But the refs, to keep your eye on one guy, not difficult. You look at him, you pay attention to him, you're going to call him on every single instance and infraction that he does. Now, you look at the rest of the team last year, we didn't have other guys that were going to be a dog like Bunting. But now you look at this season. Okay, you want to call a penalty on Domi? Well, that's fine. All right, oh, Bertuzzi's starting to mess around now. Oh, we're going to call a penalty on him too? Okay. Jake McCabe just absolutely leveled that guy. We're going to call a penalty on him? Okay, maybe. Okay, now Simon Benoit absolutely levels you. Okay, well, we can't call everything now. Now Joel Edmondson's coming in like 80 miles an hour. Well, he definitely doesn't skate that fast, but probably like 6 miles an hour. But absolute force to be reckoned with, just coming into like you can't call everything. And that was one of the most frustrating aspects to the Panthers' run last year. It's that like you can call penalties. You're going to get power plays against the Panthers, but à un moment donné, you just can't call everything. Because if not, there's going to be 4,000 penalty minutes in a game. And it's just, for the game of hockey, it's just the NHL's perspective, it's not good. They're not going to do that. So at a certain point, you can't call everything. And what Toronto's begun to develop is that same mentality. It's that we have so many different tenacious players on the team now, and guys who are going to battle, and guys who are going to fight in front of the net. And if you touch our goalie in the crease, you're dead, from like 5 different players. You can't call everything. I mean, unless it was like the end of the Sabres game where the refs just like, all right, everyone off, get out. Game misconduct, game misconduct. There was like 8 handed out. Anyways, So it's just this new style that's no longer just about skill. It's no longer just about goal scoring. It's no longer just about the top four. It is now about the gritty areas of the ice, the grimy corner battles, the clearing the net front, the if you want to stand in front of my goalie and just look at him the wrong way after the whistle, we're all going to kill you. It's that style that'll win you games in the playoffs, because eventually, if you hit a guy so many times, like you saw it against the Oilers, look at the perfect example, Leon Draisaitl, one of the best players in the NHL, Joel Edmondson, league average defenseman at best, completely handled Draisaitl that game. Why? Because every time that Draisaitl skated past Joel Edmondson, cross-check to the face, cross-check to the teeth, cross-check to the back, in the neck, to the hip, always, even though the puck's not around them, little hit, little shove, elbow to the jaw, whatever. Is it all clean? Absolutely not. But that's just hockey. That's just what it is. It's if you can't beat the game, if you can't beat the strategy, use the strategy. Same thing. We Leaf fans always complain, damn, like these are penalties. Like you miss like five calls. It's like, yeah, they're not going to call everything. So let's just adapt the strategy and say, all right, well, if they're not going to call everything for them, then they're not going to call everything for us. That's what I like about this team. That's what I find that is something truly different. And it goes such a long way. Like you saw how Sam Bennett and Nick Cousins, like these just, ugh, like you hate these guys. You can't stand them because they're just always up your ass the whole game. And now we finally have a sort of presence of that on our team as well. And I think it'll help us match up to these bigger teams because Toronto's not that small anymore. And like, I'm not talking about Ryan Reeves. Like, I, to be honest, don't want to see Ryan Reeves start more than like maybe one or two playoff games this year. I really don't. I just know. Like if he's a locker room guy, leave him in the locker room. Like I don't need him on the ice. He's a robot. No offense. He's a tool on the ice. He's not good. But like we actually have like defense, like Simon Benoit. You look at his underlying numbers, like this guy is not special. But Jesus Christ, does this guy work his ass off all the time? Like, he's fighting for his job. He's fighting for his career. If he does not play good one night, he'll literally get scratched for three games. He can't afford to do that. So when every time he's on the ice, he has to make use of it. And there's a lot of different players like that on our team where it takes... Look, obviously, the Leafs need their top four here. Marner, Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, sure, needs to perform in the playoffs. That's a given, because if they don't, we're not going to win. But they should. First of all, because it's their job. Every team's superstars need to show up in the playoffs. If not, you're not going to win. That's just how it is. But there also needs to be that, like, the second line of defense in terms of, like, team structure, where you really need to have other guys on the team who also play their role to a T. And, like, the guys who are going to work and give the guys a chance, like, the superstars a chance to, like, catch their breath again. But you can trust the guys on the ice while your stars are like resting to get back out for the next shift. And we've seen that. We've seen Bobby McMahon come out of absolutely nowhere. Bertuzzi starting to score a ton more. Holmberg even contributing. Like, you know, like these are players like Robertson, a bit iffy. But like we're seeing all of these players like aside of our superstars just contributing to the game in their own ways, whether it be hits, blocks, penalty killing minutes, killing time, being defensively responsible, scoring a few, setting up a few. You know what I mean? It's. I think the Leafs are a lot more deep than people give them credit for. A lot more deep. Now, I'm not saying that they're deep compared to other standout teams, say like the Stars or a team like the Panthers. Or you know, I don't think they're that level of deep, but we're also top heavy. But for the like, considering how top heavy we are, I don't think people give enough credit to the Leafs for the depth that they've accumulated from nothing, for what they had. Like, for the resources and money we had left, damn, Tree Living really didn't do that bad of a job yet. Like, we're going to see in the playoffs, but, like, from what it looks like, he really didn't do that bad of a job. Wow, that was, like, 6 billion words before a breath. That's what the playoffs are going to be. I can't wait. We got 9 games to go. We have a huge game tonight. A huge playoff indicating game tonight against the Panthers. Going to be a nice test. It's going to be a nice test. Then on Wednesday, we get the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then on Saturday, we get the Canadiens. It's going to be an interesting week. It's going to be an interesting few weeks, but it's all about playoff preparation from right now. It's all about preparation. It's all about the guys putting in the work every single shift. It's about no longer playing for season points. It's about getting ready for a journey that hopefully lasts a lot more than a week and a half. And I'm excited to see it. I want to hear from you guys in the comment section. What do you guys think the Leafs are headed towards in the playoffs? I want to know, like, how do you guys feel as Leaf fans? How do you guys, if you're someone outside looking in that isn't a Leafs fan, that sees zero strings attached, and you look at this team, what are your actual thoughts on them? I want to hear, seriously, because I know I'm biased. Like every other diehard, I have a bias to my team. I'll always try to, like, be optimistic while pessimistic at the same time. I want to see, like, the middle people. Like, what do you guys think about it? But, guys, that is going to be it for today. Thank you so much for watching. If you did enjoy the episode, please make sure to drop the subscribe. Hit the like button. Blah, love words. Playoffs are coming. The playoffs are coming. And I can't wait. It's the best time of year. It ain't the summer. It ain't the winter. It ain't the spring. It's the playoffs. That is the best time of the year. And we're going to be here the entire way through, hopefully for a lot longer than a week and a half. Thank you very much for watching. I'll see you guys in the next one. Go Leafs, go.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with That Leafs Fan on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.